Hey, good morning. Good morning, Christ Church. Good to see ya. Yeah. It is a beautiful morning, and I'm thankful you're here with us. My name's Chet, if we haven't met before, but if this is your first time with us, make sure to say hi. I'd love to meet you. But we're glad you're here. As Tina said, it's Better Together Sunday. So we've got all the opportunities to get connected. In the back, you can check those out. So make sure you sign up for something and get connected here. And then also, yeah, get some sugar for the way out, you know? Get some carbs in your system. But let me pray and we'll get the message. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these good people, Lord. I pray that you would refresh our souls this morning. I pray you would give us your wisdom for the challenges and the difficulties and just the life that you have for us. Help us to live it from a place of wisdom, your wisdom. And Lord, I just pray that you would draw us near to each other and to you. And I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are starting a new sermon series today, and for the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about how to grow in wisdom and why this is so important. But kind of part of the heart behind this series is, I don't know about you, but has anyone felt a little tired and depleted lately? Anybody? Or are you doing pretty good? You're like, no, Chad, I'm filled with energy, and I don't know about you, but I think for many of us and many people in our church, it seems like there's been just a lot of pouring out of ourselves. You know, not only bad things and challenges, but just, you know, trying to do life in a meaningful way and serve God and serve our families and, you know, honor him and all this stuff. And I think that, you know, it seems like, man, sometimes you hit those moments where you're a little bit depleted and a little bit, you just need refreshed and renewed. So the next couple weeks, I hope that this series and what we're going to talk about can be helpful in finding a sense of renewal, of refreshment, of maybe kind of looking at our lives and adjusting some things in a healthy way. And part of my prayer for this season is that all of us would live from an encouraged soul. That in your soul, you would have a sense of encouragement from God that you're living from. Does that sound good to you? Or does anyone want to live from a sense of discouragement? Because that's an option too. But that's what I'm hoping happens. But today we're going to talk about the pursuit of wisdom. And I'm a big jujitsu fan. I like jujitsu. And if you don't know what that is or you don't like it, that's okay. God will forgive you. He's very gracious. But it's, you know, kind of a grappling, like wrestling a little bit. But for many years, believe it or not, this guy, his name's Marcelo Garcia. He's from New York City. And for many years, he was like the best jiu-jitsu guy in the world. Now, he doesn't look that tough, does he? I mean, I think, you know, Wayne, I think you could take him, bro. Yeah. But believe it or not, he was kind of, for a while, he's retired now, but he was considered the best grappler. Now, what made him so good was that people said he was the master of the scramble. The master of the scramble. And a scramble is kind of a point in a match where neither person has a clear advantage. And there's no perfect, you know, next technique. It's sort of these messy areas where you can go through the scramble, and if you, you know, go through it in the right way, you'll end up in a stronger position. But if not, you could just as easily go through it and lose a better position. And so the scramble is kind of, there's no exact way to go through it, and it's a lot of intuition, and it's a lot of who wants it more, and it's a lot of just kind of feel, and he was great at that, and it made him really, really successful. And I like that idea of thinking about being a master of the scramble, because have you ever noticed in life that sometimes there's not like a clear way forward that you can always discern? Do you ever face those situations where like you're trying to maybe make a decision, but it's not like you're deciding between something totally evil and something totally good? And you're like, well, that would be easy. But it's more gray. it's less clear than that. That's kind of like a scramble. I think sometimes we face challenges in life where we've never been through this before. And there's no, like, you know, dummy guide that we can buy on Amazon to figure it out. It requires something different. These are kind of the scrambles of life. And the scrambles of life, you can go through them and you can come out stronger in a better position, or you can go through them and come out in a lesser, inferior position. And today, what I want to talk about is how the Bible calls us to navigate these times and seasons of our life with wisdom. That wisdom is the thing that allows us to go through the confusing challenges of life that aren't super clear to us, that there's no script or easy 1, 2, 3 step to get through, but wisdom empowers us to go through these in a healthy way. So we're going to look today at the book of Proverbs, and we're going to, just the next 2 weeks, we're going to spend most of our time in Proverbs chapter 3. But I want to read just chapter 1, verse 7 to you, because this sort of sets the precedent for the whole book of Proverbs. It says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Other times it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the point is very, very clear that the fear of God is the beginning point for wisdom, for knowledge. He says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So one of the things that the book of Proverbs shows again and again, it shows you can kind of be, you know, one of two types of people. You can be a wise person or you can be a foolish person. And the big difference is the wise person, the book of Proverbs says, that if you rebuke a wise man, they will become wiser. And to a fool, the book of Proverbs says, you can tell them the same thing 100 times and you're not going to get anywhere. And so a lot of the book of Proverbs is saying, are you teachable? Are you willing to learn? Are you open to learn? And ultimately, it begins with God. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. So Proverbs 3:1 says this: my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, this whole book, which again is all about wisdom, was written by the great King Solomon in the Old Testament, who is the wisest man that ever lived. And so he was teaching his son and probably many other younger people through this book. And so it's kind of set up that way. So he says, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandment, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So here's the idea today. Wisdom, it helps us to master the scrambles of life. Those times where we don't know the way forward, where maybe we're confused, we're overwhelmed, there isn't just the clarity that we want. Wisdom is what we need. See, a lot of times we think our problems in life are money problems, or marital problems, or people problems, or family problems. But what the book of Proverbs shows is that many times most of our problems are wisdom problems. Most of our problems are learning what wisdom is and receiving it from God and adjusting our life according to it. And the good news is that if most of our problems are actually wisdom problems, then there's a lot of hope for us, because God is always willing to give us wisdom. And God is always willing to help us to grow in wisdom. You can't always get more time. You can't always get more money. You can't change people the way you hope and think you can, but you can always get more wisdom. And if most of our problems are wisdom problems, believe it or not, that's good news, because God will help us in it and it will help us in life. So today I just got 2 very simple points. This is going to be a very quick message. Do you believe that? If you're wise, you know that that's not true. But just two simple ideas. What is wisdom and how do we get it? What is wisdom and how do we get it? So what do we mean by this idea of wisdom? Well, in the most simple sense, Wisdom is being competent in life. It's being able to navigate life with all the complexities, with all the challenges, with all the different relational struggles, but to navigate it in a healthy way, where productive things are happening, where relationships are more healthy than unhealthy, where we're honoring God. It's being, in the most simple sense, competent in life. Now, through the book of Proverbs, the author gives us all these different words that explains different aspects or shades of what wisdom is. I just want to share them with you to give you more of a sense of it. It says, they'll often use this word that it's training. And it's not just a training of the mind, but even more so, it's a training of our character. So in other words, in the book of Proverbs, you cannot be evil and wise, because wisdom is always has goodness connected to it. So if you're evil, no matter how intelligent you might be, you're not wise, because evil is never wise. You with me on this? And so Proverbs is wisdom is as much about our character, who we are, how we relate to the world, how we relate to others, ultimately how we relate to God. And it's about growing goodness in our character as much as it is about understanding things. Second, it's insight. This is discernment. And many times this word's used in reference to kind of understanding ourselves and how the world works. Have you ever had moments of insight into who you are? Maybe into things you do that aren't helpful, and you're like, wow, I wish my spouse would have told me this earlier. That's where a lot of that comes from. Just kidding. It's actually, we all need that. We all need more self-awareness. Now, as we think about this word, I just want to give you a challenge today, and I want you to think about in this season to have insight in what fills you, what fills your soul, and what drains your soul. And I want you to maybe even pray and ask God to help you to understand that. What it fills my soul? What makes my soul healthier and live from a sense of abundance and what doesn't? And begin to understand, have that self-insight into ourselves. The next is wise dealing. This is just dealing with other people. It's the ability to work with others, to be a team player, to overcome conflict, all that kind of thing. It's more the people side. Wisdom is not where, you know, you sit in a cave and you got this huge beard and you think deep philosophical thoughts. In the book of Proverbs, it's much more practical than that. It's about connecting with other people and doing it in a productive and a meaningful way. That's wise dealing. It's discretion. It's knowing the ropes of life, avoiding trouble, and making plans. One of the big themes in the book of Proverbs is the wise person, they see trouble ahead in the distance, and they go a different way. And how many times in our life have we seen trouble ahead and be like, yep, I'm going to go right over there. I'm going to take a look a little closer. And Proverbs is like, you're dumb. If you see it, move away from it. It's the grace of God that you see it. Now the wise person avoids it. They also make plans. Making plans and thinking ahead and anticipating the future is not contrary to trusting God. It's good to do that. And Proverbs says, hey, there's a lot of wisdom in it. Now it also says, don't hold on to those plans with a death grip. God can always trump those plans. God can always, you know, call an audible. God can always redirect our life. We want to trust him to do that. But there's wisdom in looking ahead, in thinking through our lives, in setting goals, in having a direction. And so wisdom is growing in these things. And then ultimately, it's knowledge. But most importantly, it's knowledge about God. So there's a lot of facets to what wisdom is, what it looks like, and how we can grow in it. But ultimately, the blessing of it is it helps us tremendously. It helps us tremendously. And if you're a parent today, pray that your kids will grow in wisdom. That's a great prayer. Say, God, grow them in wisdom. If you're a grandparent, pray it for your grandkids. Pray it for yourself. God, give me more wisdom. Help me to grow in it. Because it helps us to navigate the challenges of life with character, with success, with freedom, and with protection. And we all need it. Now, in chapter 3, the verses that we read, the author says wisdom will add length of days to your life and peace, which is a really nice promise. That it will improve the quantity and the quality of our lives. And I was just thinking about this week, and I was thinking about how relevant this, like these verses were probably written 3,000 years ago. And it says, hey, if you practice wisdom, it'll give you a longer life. And what do we keep learning from the medical community, you know, again and again and again, that chronic stress is terrible for your health. That's so much of what's wrong with our bodies is because of the stress and the worry we carry in our hearts and minds, that they're deeply connected. And what I love is Proverbs said this 3,000 years ago. It said, hey, if you can navigate life in a healthier way, it'll actually help your health and your quality of life. I was listening to a podcast this week, and there was this guy named Ray Johnson, and he's a pastor in California, and he was talking about how in the last 4 years, it's just been challenge after challenge for him, like personally and professionally. And he said it's just been really, really difficult. And he said what he noticed is that in his life, when challenge goes up and his support doesn't go up, then that gap creates destructive stress in his life. That it's okay if challenge goes up as long as support goes up. But if challenge goes up and support kind of stays where it's at, he says it unleashes this really unhealthy, destructive stress. And I was like, I relate to what you're saying. How about you? Because I don't know about you, but how many of our lives, I was like, Ray, I don't think it's just you. How many of our lives in these last maybe months or years, our challenge has gone up? Just personally, maybe professionally, in our families, just in different spaces. It's like our challenge has gone up. And can we just be honest for a second? The challenge level's probably not going to go down. And in the next 5 years, is it fair to say, there'll be different challenges in our life, but the level will still probably be close to where it's at, if not higher. And so what he says is you can't really probably adjust your challenge level as much as you hope to, but what you can change is your support level. Is that you can change the relationships and the rhythms of our life so that as the challenges go up, we can meet them because there is strength and support around us. And that's what wisdom does for us. It gives us that and it helps us with that. So how do we get wisdom? Let me give you just a couple ideas this morning. Number one, we have to keep a rookie mindset. Chapter 3 begins, my son, do not forget these teachings. Or son, listen up. Take these to heart. Keep reminding yourself. Keep applying them to yourself. And it will add tremendous value to your life. Now, I think what happens is sometimes we get to that point in life where we feel like we probably have more figured out than we really do. You ever met someone like that? You can't tell them anything because they know everything. Let's not be that type of person. Amen? A rookie mindset, it's just teachable. It's just saying, yeah, I don't have it all figured out. I'm learning and I'm open to being wrong. I'm humble enough to listen to some different perspectives and opinions. What Proverbs says is that's the right attitude. We want to remain teachable through life about just about everything. I kind of have a speech prepared as Emery gets older. Emery's my oldest daughter. And, you know, when we kind of hit a rough patch as she's older, I'm already ready. I'm going to be like, listen, Emery, I just want you to know, Dad has been a rookie this whole time. Every age that you went up, that was my first time with the 5-year-old, with the 6-year-old, with the 7-year-old, with an 8-year-old. Dad's been a rookie, So give him some grace. I got it prepared. It's in my back pocket. When the time comes, we'll see how it goes. Now, the other two kids, I don't know where I go from there, you know? Because they'll be like, well, you're still an amateur, but you're not a rookie anymore, you know? I'll have to figure out something. But a rookie mindset. And today, we have to look in our own hearts and say, man, am I teachable? Am I open to learning, to listening, to being wrong about some things? To being corrected by God or maybe by the wisdom of other people? It'll help us. Second, this one's so important. We must decide where the beginning of wisdom is found. Now, let me talk about this for a moment. If you were to ask a lot of different people in our culture, where is the beginning of wisdom? I think we would get a lot of different answers, but I think there would be two pretty strong themes. You can tell me what you think about this. But I think in our culture, when we say, like, what is firm and certain knowledge? Where do we find that in our world today? Where do we find knowledge that is reliable and trustworthy? I think a lot of people, they would say, well, the beginning of that is science. Science has given us all these incredible blessings in this world. It's done amazing things, which it absolutely has. And a lot of people sometimes, maybe some of us, think this way or wrestle with this, or, you know, that's part of what we're exploring on Faith Journey. How do we reconcile this in our mind? But for many people, they say, unless I can touch it, I can see it, I can taste it, I can smell it, if I can't do that, I'm not really sure it's real or helpful. You ever known people? Maybe you've thought that before. And many people in our world, they look at the idea of God and they're like, I can't touch God. I can't see God. I can't verify him with my senses. And so therefore, I'm not sure it's really the beginning of wisdom. Now, that idea is, I think there's a lot of problems with it. I've been reading a ton about the philosophy of science, and I'm not going to bore you with any of it. I'm really tempted to, though. Maybe next week. But here's the one thing I want to say. When we kind of look at that idea, we say, you know, the only things that are trustworthy and reliable knowledge are things that we can empirically verify. That just means we can evaluate them with our senses, touch, taste, feel, whatever. You know, we can use a scientific method, observable, repeatable, all that kind of thing. When we say the only real truth and real knowledge is scientific truth and knowledge that can be empirically verified, the problem with that is you can't actually empirically verify that statement. That's a philosophical idea. It's not empirically verified. And again, that's not to make any slight to science. Science is great and wonderful, but it also has limitations. It cannot tell you how to treat your spouse. It cannot tell you what is moral and wise and ultimately good in the world. It can do amazing things for our life, but it has limitations. And so my whole point is that I think we need a bigger foundation for wisdom than science, than the world we can observe and experiment with and all that kind of thing. Now, I think there's another way we could go to say the beginning of wisdom. I think a lot of people in our world would say, well, the beginning of wisdom is what I think is right and good for me. That I determine my life by what I determine to be right and good and wise. And you, what's right for you is right for you. What's right for me is right for me. And if we can just sort of acknowledge that and respect it, then everything will be fine. And in some ways that sounds good, but it collapses pretty quickly, because what if what's right for you is wrong for me? And what's wrong for me is right for you. Who gets to decide on that then? Who gets, you know? Again, we can arm wrestle about this sort of thing, but it's probably not going to be all that productive. I think we need a bigger source of wisdom. There's a philosopher named Alistair MacIntyre, and he calls this whole type of deal, he calls it emotivism. Now, he wrote this in the early 80s, and he said, emotivism is a doctrine that all evaluative judgments, and more specifically, all moral judgments, are nothing but expressions of attitude and feeling. Now, in the early 80s, here's what he was saying. He was saying, as a culture, as Americans, as Western people, we can't agree on an objective grounding for what is moral and good in this world. And so because we can't agree on it, all we have are our preferences. And because we just have preferences about it, we can't actually have meaningful conversation about it. We can only just kind of shout at each other about it. This dude wrote this in the early 80s. How right was he? And today, it's hard to have meaningful conversation because we do end up just shouting at each other about it. Because there's no deeper framework that we can evaluate and understand our claims. Now, it's good to have preferences, and we all need preferences as part of our life. My daughter Emery, many days, she'll be like, Dad, what's your favorite color? And I'll say blue. Some days I'm in a green mood, you know, but I'll be like, blue. And she'll be like, oh, that's great. She's like, my favorite color is purple. And then the next day she'll say, Dad, same question. What's your favorite color? I'll say blue. And she'll say, mine's yellow. And then sometimes she'll add on more, and green, and blue, and red, and she'll just kind of start listing them off. The point is that you want something deeper than your preferences to guide you toward the good life. If it's just our preferences, which come and go, which change, we need a bigger foundation. We need something outside of us to guide us, and we need something outside of others in the world around us to be the real judge, the one who can really evaluate what is good, what is right, and what is noble. So here's what Proverbs says. It says God is the beginning point. That everything, if we're going to live the wise life, everything has to begin with reference to God. That my beginning point is not myself, it's not the world outside of me, it's not, you know, the latest trends in culture or science, but it's ultimately the reality of God. It says, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, this word could also easily be translated reverence. It's not the sense of fear like you're, you know, afraid of something scary, but it's the idea of honor, it's the idea of respect, it's the idea of organizing your life because he's so infinitely important and taking it incredibly serious. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I love what Tim Keller says. He says, fear of the Lord is a life rearranging, joyful awe and wonder before the greatness of who God is and what he has done. Joyful life rearranging. I like that word, life rearranging. You know, as we've had kind of some sunny days here today, praise God. I think we had one earlier this week, didn't we? Yeah, the eclipse. That was beautiful. And so we have our patio, you know, in the back, and got a little chair back there. And in the morning, I get a lot of sun on the patio, but then as the day goes on, you know, you start to lose it. But what I do is wherever the sun is, I move my chair to be in the sun. You know, it'll just kind of go across the patio as the day goes on because I want to be in the warmth and the light of the sun. I got to get that vitamin D going after this winter, you know? So wherever the sun is, that's where my chair goes. And this is kind of the idea of the fear of God, reverence for God. It means that I'm rearranging my life so that I'm in the light in the presence of God. That wherever God is, that's where I'm going to move to. That's where I'm going to adjust things because I need to be in the light of his wisdom, of his goodness, and of his love. You with me on this? And that's fear of the Lord. That what is wise is to be where God is to be where God blesses, is to be where God says, is to take serious God's way in God's way of thinking. And then the Proverbs 3 says these two qualities, steadfast love and faithfulness. And it says, wear them around your neck. So think about just, you know, a beautiful necklace. Wear these virtues, these qualities around your neck so that they can always stay close to your heart. Now, these qualities, steadfast love and faithfulness, we could also just call them grace and loyalty, or grace and consistency. Steadfast love is this word that's used many times in the Old Testament. It's this Hebrew word hesed. And it's kind of difficult to translate, so you'll see it translated different ways, like steadfast love, merciful love, loving kindness. All these are just different ways of translating it. And in the New Testament, which is Greek, it's often the word for grace, but it's that same idea. It's God consistently loving us, not based on who we are, but based on the reality of who he is. And it's this foundational power that is always at work in the heart of God towards us. And then faithfulness is, that one's a lot more straightforward. It's just that God is consistent. He's true to his word. He's true to what he says he'll do. You can rely on him. You can count on him at all times. So how do we practice these things? How do we wear them around our neck? Well, the first thing is to constantly remind ourselves that this is who God is towards us. That the way we wear it around our neck is we first remember that God is gracious and faithful to you and to me. Every day, we need reminded of this. Every day, I need to remember that God doesn't love me because what I do or don't do. God loves me because of his steadfast love. Every day, I need to remember that the work of Christ is my hope for everything. Every day, I need to remember God is faithful. He will not forsake me. I'm not in this alone. And every day, I need to keep those realities close to my heart. I love this book, The Gospel for Real Life. It's by Jerry Bridges. He's a great author. But if you're intrigued by this, this book has just a lot of insight in how to do that. He basically says you got to preach the gospel to yourself every single day. The reality of Jesus Christ dying and rising again for us and what that all means, you never get to the point in your Christian journey where you're like, okay, I'm advanced now. I don't need to think about those things or learn more about that. No, that's everything. You need the truth of the gospel to give you strength, to give you renewal, to give you help every single day. Wear it around your neck. Here's the second thing. We have to remember that's how God treats us, but then this is also a call to practice these qualities. And here's what it means very simply. The wise approach to life is the gracious approach to life. And here's what it means. Treating people better than they deserve is the wise way to live. So when people wrong you, you're like, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Well, you act with grace. You give it anyway because God gave it to you. When people hurt us or fail us or whatever, we give grace because God gave it to us. And he calls us to give it to others, to treat people better than they deserve. When people are short and nasty with us, we strive to reply not in the same way, but with grace, with kindness, with love. We overcome evil with good, not fighting fire with fire. And Proverbs says that's the wise way to live. As much grace as we can show, we are on the path of wisdom. We're holding that virtue around our neck. And then faithfulness, loyalty. Here's just one application of this. We need a relationship with ourselves and with others where we do what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it. Having that relationship with ourselves is a game changer. Have you ever made, you know, promises to yourself and broke them? Of course you have, right? We all have. Have you ever had good intentions of noble things, but you didn't follow through on it? We need faithfulness in ourselves. We need to build a relationship of trust with ourselves. Where, hey, I'm going to do what I tell myself I'm going to do. Because that's faithfulness. And then we need it with others. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. Now, here's what's powerful about that. If we live that out, you will set yourself apart in this world. If you can have that relationship with yourself and with others, that is a game changer. People like, who are you? Where are you from? Are you some magical creature? What is going on? Because it's powerful and it's wise. It's wise. And we need to grow in those things. We need to build them. Now, here's the last thing I'll say today. There is only kind of one hack to the pursuit of wisdom. And it's this. Proverbs 13 says, walk with the wise and you will become wise. Walk with the wise and you will become wise. Here's what the only real hack to wisdom is to get around wise people. And through osmosis, you will get it. it will just come upon you. Walk with the wise and you will become wise. I think we really radically underestimate how much the people around us influence us. We radically underestimate that. Now, here's the deal. Yes, the people around us, you can kind of, there can be a negative component to that where it's like, you know, your mom said, hey, don't hang out with those kids. You're like, but they're funny. She's like, yeah, but they're losers. You know, it's going to be bad. Maybe that was just my childhood. I don't know. But we know that there can be a negative impact, but here's what Proverbs is saying, but there can also be a positive impact. So if you get around wise people, it will impact you significantly. You will become wise. Now, this is kind of the heart behind Better Together. God does not want us to do this life alone. And believe it or not, many times the way God is going to bring wisdom into your life is through other people. It's through other people's insight, other people's experience, other people's understanding of Scripture. God is going to use that in our lives, but we have to create the space in our life for it. Now, we've got a lot of groups, and I pray that if you're in a season where you're a little worn out, you're depleted, or you're facing things that you're like, I've tried to figure this all out on my own and I can't. I want to encourage you, get around some good wise people. There's a lot of wise people in our church. And guess what? I bet there's some wisdom in you. And I bet that not only does God want to give wisdom from others to you, but he wants to give some of your wisdom to other people. The blessings go both ways, church. And we need each other. Here's my prayer in this season for our church, that none of us struggle alone this season. That none of us are going home and we're sitting through the week and we're trying to just sort out our pain and our problems and our challenges and we're just kind of isolated and alone. God has a better plan for us. We need each other. And don't do it alone. Today, man, if you need prayer today, come up front. Let me pray for you. Let someone pray for you. We need to be here for each other. We need each other. We can't do it alone. God doesn't intend it. And again, it's not just about what you can get. It's also about what you have to give. And we're all better when we're together, when we are walking in this life together. Let's pray. Father, would you help us to do that, Lord? Would you give us your wisdom and your grace? Father, could we bind those around our neck? Could we, Lord, receive from you that steadfast love? Could we be strengthened by a sense of your faithfulness to us? And Lord, could we give it to others? Could we practice it in our own life? Father, all wisdom comes from you. And so, Lord, just wherever each of us might need it, I pray that we could receive it. I pray, Lord, where maybe some of us are fighting a battle alone today, I pray, Lord, that you would bring some support around us. And I pray we'd be open to receive it. Father, where some of us are, our hearts are really heavy and we've been going at it. We've been going at it alone and we've been doing the best we can, but Lord, our souls are a little worn down and worn out. I pray you would bring the refreshing presence of someone else to lighten the burden. Lord, I pray you'd bless us. I pray you'd strengthen us. I pray you'd refresh and renew us. And I pray you'd be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name, amen.